Good evening and welcome to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where PGA and LPGA players, legends, and top instructors go to share their insights and playing lessons. Join Chris every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as he talks with the greats of the game. Tonight's show is sponsored by the French Lick Resort, Ben Hogan Golf, the PGA Tour Superstore, the Salt Creek Golf Retreat, TaylorMade Golf, the Bobby Jones Apparel Company, and Super Speed Golf. Now here's your host, Chris Mascaro.
Good evening, folks, and thank you for coming back and joining me tonight here on Next on the Tee. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro, and I can't thank you enough for continuing to make us a part of your golf content. And tonight I've got three great guests that I'm very much looking forward to sharing with you. My first guest tonight is going to be Ted Purdy, and Ted had a stellar career at the University of Arizona. He was an academic champion award winner, finished second in the NCAA championships in 1995, dueled against Tiger Woods when Tiger was at Stanford, and Ted actually came away with a couple of W's in those matchups. Ted also won a few times out on tour, most notably the 2005 Byron Nelson Classic. And I had the privilege of spending some time with Ted here on the show back in February, and very much looking forward to having him back with me tonight. He'll join me in just a few minutes. Following him, I'm going to get a return visit from our good friend Donnie Hammond. Donnie's birthday, my birthday, pretty close together. His birthday is April 1st, mine's the 19th, and so we've got a lot in common. We're both closet space nuts, so I always like to kind of, you know, sneak in a space question or two when Donnie's a part of the show, so I'm going to try to do that. Plus, I'll get his thoughts on the new Tour Championship format for 2019 that was announced earlier today, plus his thoughts on the Ryder Cup as well. So looking forward to having Donnie as part of the show about a half an hour from now. Then I'll round out tonight's show with a visit from Dave Windsor. And Dave is a Class A PGA professional and the director of adaptive golf for the Georgia State Golf Association. Dave has put together some great programs to help our wounded service members either learn or relearn how to play golf. And the impact that his program is having on lives is absolutely astounding. So really looking forward to, you know, talking with Dave, hearing about what his program does. And we have a couple other guys that have been a part of the show. As you all know, Joe Groman a couple of weeks ago has got a very similar adaptive program out in the West. Jim Estes does a wonderful one you've heard me talking about for years, the Salute Military Golf Association that he started up there in Maryland. So looking forward to hearing about what Dave is doing right down here in the state of Georgia. So a lot more great stories and information coming your way tonight on this edition of Next on the Tee. Again, thank you so much for tuning in and taking the journey with me over the next hour or so. All right, before we get started, I want to remind you about our good friend Matthew Lawrence and his show Backspin Golf, which airs Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. It's my regular Sunday 8:03 a.m. tee time. It is broadcast on WLXG, ESPN Radio, AM 1300 up in Lexington, Kentucky. You can stream it live by going online to WLXG.com or doing what I did, which is download the WLXG app. Matthew does a great job, and it's a great way, folks, to kickstart your Sunday mornings. His equally fantastic twin brother, Mitchell, also has a great golf show that marries golf and travel. It's called Talking Golf Getaways, which you can find online at golfnewsnet.com or over on Audioboom or really anywhere you consume podcasts. He and his co-host, Darren Bunch, travel all over the world, and they let you know about the great places to stay, play, and even eat while you're there. Again, it's called Talking Golf Getaways, and you can stream it online at golfnewsnet.com or over on Audioboom. And as you guys know, we are sponsored by the French Lick Resort. Let's hear a word from Steve Rondinero about the great things they've got going on up there.
Play legendary golf at French Lick Resort, the only place in the country where you can play courses by two Hall of Fame designers on the same property. Our Pete Dye and Donald Ross courses offer two very different challenges. Experience them both and save with our Hall of Fame package. Our two historic hotels are unique as well. Cap it off with a fun visit to the French Lick Casino. Check us out online at FrenchLick.com. Bring a group and save even more. Play legendary golf this season at French Lick Resort.
Yeah, go online to FrenchLick.com to see for yourself what a wonderful place it is and to book your stay as well. I also want to give a shout out to our friends at the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company. Folks, if you haven't hit Ben Hogan iron since the 80s or the 90s, do yourself a favor. Get a demo iron from them, either their Fort Worth, PTX, or new Edge irons, and go out on the range and compare it to what you have. All Ben Hogan irons and wedges are handcrafted one at a time in their Fort Worth, Texas factory. No mass production, no shortcuts. Now you can get custom-made irons and wedges at benhogangolf.com. So go online to benhogangolf.com. They're going to build the clubs to your specifications. And best of all, charge you a fraction of the retail price. Again, their complete line of forged irons, wedges, utility irons, hybrids, bags, and accessories are available to you online at benhogangolf.com. We're also proud to be partnering with Russ Holden and the folks over at Caddy for a Cure. One of the most unique opportunities in the world of professional golf is available to you through Caddy for a Cure. Spend a day inside the ropes with one of the world's best players as their caddy. Fantastic way to have the time of your life while supporting our wounded service members and Fanconi Anemia. You're going to get to walk side by side with your tour player, experiencing professional golf as an insider. And in addition to the amazing experience you're going to have, you're going to get a fantastic gift package from Caddy for a Cure, which includes Under Armour logoed apparel and an eyewear package, a tour-grade caddy bib suitable for autographs and framing, a 10-cup ball marking gift, chef's cut real jerky, and professional photographs of your day. Go online to Caddy for a Cure. That's CaddyForACure, caddyforacure.com to learn more. All right, now back with me here on the French Lick Resort guest line is Ted Purdy. Let me remind you about Ted's background. He is from Phoenix, Arizona, played his college golf at the University of Arizona, where he was a four-time All-Pac-10 selection and a three-time NCAA All-District selection. He was a third-team All-American in 1995, and he, along with his teammates Jason Gore, Jim Furyk, and several others on that wonderful team, won the 1992 NCAA National Championship. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, he was a University of Arizona Academic Champion Award winner 3 years in a row from 1992 to 1994. In 1995, Ted finished runner-up at the NCAA Championship, finishing one stroke behind Auburn's Chip Spratlin. Ted beat Tiger Woods by 6 strokes at the 96 Arizona Ping Invitational. He's played in more competitive rounds than anyone in Arizona golf history. He was inducted into the Wildcats Hall of Fame in 2005, turned pro in 96. In 97, he won the Asian Masters Championship and was named Rookie of the Year on the Asian PGA Tour. He won once so far on the Web.com Tour at the 2003 First Tee Arkansas Classic and once on the PGA Tour at the 2005 Byron Nelson Classic. And I'm excited he's back with me again tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Ted, thanks for coming back on the show.
No, anytime. Thanks for the invite.
So, Ted, I saw you play not all that long ago at the Barbasol Championship back in July.
So does this mean we might see more of you in the 2019 season?
Well, I hope so. When you play poorly, they don't let you play anymore on the PGA Tour. So I've kind of earned my fate, unfortunately. I'm planning on playing in October the Sanderson Farm, and hopefully get in the one or two in the fall series events. So I'm still working at it. If Tiger's made his comeback, he's kind of inspired me. So hopefully I come back as well.
There you go. So, have you missed being out there on tour, Ted?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the PGA Tour. I tell everybody I'm living the dream. I'm a PGA Tour winner, and they can never take that away from me. And, being on the PGA Tour is the place to be for sure.
And, Ted, I wanted to get your reaction to today's announcement regarding the changes to the FedEx Cup for next season. In particular, the change to a sort of a strokes play based reward system where the FedEx Cup leader coming into the tour championship here at Eastlake is going to start the event 10 under par. Second place person will be at 8 under, third place 7 under, and so on. Do you think that's a better way to handle things in order to be sure that the winner of the tour championship also is the winner of the FedEx Cup?
I do, just because since 2007, since they created the FedEx Cup, even the players don't understand it and don't understand the point system. I mean, we get points and the leaders would shuffle all day long. You're watching it on TV. You're watching the Tour Championship on TV and one player is up and is going to win the FedEx Cup and 2 holes later, a totally different person just because of the complexity of the point system. The players didn't understand it. I don't think the spectators understood what was going on. So you lost a lot of drama just because of the complexity of the system. This is a brilliant way to make it, you know, it's just black and white. On Thursday, the guy ahead has a 10-shot lead and, let's see if he can hold on. I think it's a great way to do it.
The only concern that I have is sort of like what we're seeing right now, where, you know, Bryson has got such a large, you know, points lead, if you will, right? He's got such a large points lead. It seems like it should be more than a two-stroke differential. Hey, if they came up with some mathematical equation, and I heard them talking today about how they sort of ran everything by guys at MIT to make sure that, you know, the equations and the formula seemed right. I would just wonder if it could slide up and down a little bit, so that if the guy coming in first has done what Bryson's done, right? He's won two tournaments coming into this thing. And, you know, if it happened to be that, you know, someone got on a roll and won two or three tournaments and had a really large lead in the points, because I think this only counts, you know, this stroke play is only going to be for the Tour Championship, not for the other events in the playoff. But if a guy had a really huge lead, to see it only be a two-stroke lead going in doesn't seem quite as fair to me. But I'm really interested to see what you and the players think about how fair that is. And maybe to your point, the upside is at least we can get our minds wrapped around how it works. Because if they didn't to this point, I could see where the guys would be like, anything is better.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything is better, to be honest with you. And I'm sure they'll adjust, you know, for the 2020 season. So if it doesn't seem like the points are the way those should be, then I'm sure they'll adjust again. But this is definitely a more, I think, a simpler concept. More people are going to understand it. The fans are going to probably embrace it more energetically. I think they had to do something, because for the last 11 years, nobody really knew or could understand it. And I think, honestly, if you look back, there were players that had big leads going into the final tournament, and the person who win the final tournament would win the FedEx Cup. So the system's worked that way for a long time. At least the last 11 years, there have been people with big leads that have not won the FedEx Cup.
And Ted, you know, they also added a $10 million bonus for the top 10 finishers during the regular season. So you're going to have sort of a regular season champ. And money's always, right, always a great incentive. But do you think this sort of, you know, bonus, this $10 million bonus, $2 million to the guy who wins the regular season, is going to get players to play in more events to try to get to that bonus? Or is, you know, sort of off the golf course, if you will, is trying to put together your schedule for the year and other commitments that you've got off the golf course, does that make it challenging to try to put together even and add even one more event to what you did the previous year?
Well, I think most of the guys, because of the new system, the new FedEx Cup, most guys play about the same amount of events. I mean, Tiger was always a rarity because he played the minimum. He played 15 events, but most guys pretty much played the 25 to 30 events a year. And I don't think it's going to change people's schedules. I don't think it's going to add. Tiger's probably not going to add tournaments to his schedule. I don't think it'll make much of a difference on people's schedule. It tells you the extra $10 million bonus tells you how the PGA Tour, how healthy the PGA Tour is, and how, you know, professional golf in general is doing amazing. So the fact that they keep coming up with ways to make the guys richer is why I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world and have been a part and still am a part of the PGA Tour.
That's something else that we have to look forward to are a whole bunch of rules changes that are going to go into effect in January. When you've looked over some of those new rules, anything come to you, leap out to you and say, you know what? Thank God, this thing is long overdue to change.
Yeah, I think just in general, that anytime you decriminalize things, it makes the game more fun, more easier to understand. Nothing really jumps out to me, but anytime we decriminalize the system, the better.
And Ted, one of the things that I've wondered, you know, to me, the inability to repair a spike mark on a green, it's something that's never made any sense to me. Have you ever run into a situation, college, you're out on tour, where a spike mark or a rule like that, you know, negatively impacted you? Like, boy, if I could have fixed that spike mark, that putt might have gone in.
Oh, yeah, we've all had that. I mean, you have these 4 or 5 footers, and that's where everybody walks around the hole. Nowadays, with the invention of the soft spike, we don't have as many spike marks as we used to have, obviously. There's still quite a few guys on the PGA Tour that wear spikes, but the greens now are so good, and the way they maintain the greens and the advent of the soft spike, we don't have as many spike marks. But I think everybody that's played the game has had one affect a short putt because, you know, around the hole is where everybody walks. And as Dave Pelt said, he calls it the lumpy donut. You're going to have some bad luck like that. And it's great that we can now, hopefully repair that kind of obstacle.
Has the tour at all discouraged guys from wearing metal spikes, or is it just sort of a grandfathered in? Hey, if you want to wear them, fine. If not, you know, you obviously go the soft spike route. But I would have thought by now the tour would have discouraged, you know, metal spikes.
No, the tour doesn't discourage it. I think they're harder to find nowadays. if you go into the shoe room and need some extra spikes, they might have to get on eBay, but. but no, it doesn't. They don't discourage anything we do. We're all independent contractors. You know, they'll make a rule make sense, and we all have to abide by it. But they try to kind of stay out of our way. If we think we make more birdies with metal spikes, then they'll let us wear them. They don't discourage that.
Ted, switching gears a little bit, I was wondering, who are some of the guys out on tour that you really enjoy getting to, whether it's play a practice round with or even during a tournament for that matter? Who are some of the guys you really look forward to playing with?
Well, I'm one of the older guys, so I'd say I'm one of the old fat guys now, but just the game of golf, really, if you watch it on TV or you play golf with anybody, that's why it's such a great business tool. There's a famous line, somebody said that golf is the elevation of every occupation. And it's because you really get to know the person that you're playing with because of this crazy game we play. And it causes emotions and it causes us stress, and how we deal with that affects the people around us. And if you just were watching it on TV, you'd go, hey, if Freddie Couples looks like a really fun guy to play with. Well, by the way, he's a great guy to play with for two reasons. His tempo is so fluid and beautiful that you kind of absorb it through osmosis, his rhythm. And, but he's also a great guy. He, is encouraging to the people he plays with. He's, the fans absolutely adore him. Freddie would be the first guy. No, I would say I'd like to play with, and obviously, like Ernie Els, same kind of thing for me. I love playing with Ernie because he's a great guy. He's fun. But it's his rhythm, his temperament, and his golf swing. When you're playing with, somebody with that kind of, cadence or tempo, it sure makes me play better. You know, another great guy just because I think he's great is Timmy Herron. I was roommates with Jason Gore. I love playing with my old roommate, Jason Gore. And, anyway, so that's kind of the guys I like to play with.
And Ted, having played big time college golf and then obviously out on, you know, escalating through the different tours, the Asian Tour, the Web.com Tour, and ultimately the PGA Tour, how did you get used to playing in front of larger and larger and larger crowds? Because I know, you know, you played, you know, against Tiger many times in college. You played obviously with him on the PGA Tour. How did you get, you know, sort of acclimated to all of a sudden from tens of fans to hundreds of fans to thousands of fans to tens of thousands of fans lining every fairway, every tee box, every green you played?
Kind of, I hate to say it, we're kind of like junkies. Once you get the taste of that, you just want it more and more, and you want to get in the hunt more because of the energy that you're getting from the crowd. You know, I used to say, you know, I play in a major and I'd be at the British Open, and then the next week we'd be at the Canadian Open, for example. And you almost felt like there was a letdown at the Canadian Open because it's not the British Open, but the Canadian Open is still amazing. So, it's just a thing that I actually just thrive on. I think Tiger thrives on it, obviously. And, the other good players out there, if we didn't, you'd probably drive you crazy. And that's why some guys just don't make it, because there is a lot of attention and people don't like playing golf in front of people, other, you know, big crowds. And, you know, that's a fine line between, there's a lot of amazing golfers out there in the world, a lot of amazing young pros that are trying to make it. And there's just something about the guys that do make it, they thrive on the bigger crowds and the more attention.
At what point in your career, Ted, did you no longer, lack of a better term or phrase, did you no longer notice them? Did it no longer become, you know, the idea that you got tens of thousands of eyes watching you and the noise and the people talking? At what point did it sort of just drift off into the background?
I think it happens pretty quick. I think you get used to it. In fact, you hope you have more people around you because it means you're playing well. You know, when you're hitting a ball in, honestly, when you're hitting a ball into a green that's surrounded with spectators, your ball can't get that far away from the green because it's going to hit somebody. That's why I said that, you know, Tiger and, Arnold Palmer, man, they had a big advantage because they hit it in the gallery and it potentially hit somebody in the head and get back in the fairway. But, I say that in jest, but it is kind of true. Like, my ball, because nobody's watching me play, I'd hit it over the green and shoot it, go 30, 40 yards. Tiger misses a green and it ends up, you know, he's still around the green because it hit somebody's foot. But, the more people around, the better. And you get over it pretty quick. I mean, Donnie Hammond, he'll tell you in a couple of minutes, same thing. You get over it pretty quick. In fact, you want it. You're hoping for it, for a lot of reasons.
And Ted, you mentioned Mr. Palmer's name, and I was curious, have you had an opportunity to sit down with some of the legends of the game, like a Mr. Palmer or Nicklaus or a player, and pick their brains, get some tips, maybe a playing lesson, something along those lines? Did you get an opportunity to be with some of those guys?
Yeah, all the above. That's the thing about golf. They're just not a lot of us out there. 125 a year, 150 guys a year. And if you play in the Memorial, Mr. Nicklaus meets everybody and likes to sit down and talk to everybody. And he's always got words of encouragement and, you know, wisdom that you can get from the front end. When I was at Bay Hill in Arnie's tournament, a couple of years, Arnie asked me to host the pro-am party where him and I would get up on stage and I'd go through the rules and tell a joke or two and what was funny is I had made up to that point and up to the point of Arnie's tournament, I had made over a million bucks that year, and I got up on stage and I said, well, thank you, Mr. Palmer, because in the last 4 or 5 months, I've made $1 million and I surpassed your career earnings. and it's just, you know, it's hard to believe that I could surpass Arnold Palmer's career earnings in a few months on the PGA Tour. So,
yeah,
pretty incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Ted, a couple more before we let you go, and I want to kind of go back into some of the things that that you were able to be a part of earlier in your career, and you got to play in the Masters in 2006. So before we talk about the tournament proper, did you get to play in the par three tournament that year?
At the Masters, yeah. I played in two Masters. You do all the traditional things, the par three tournament, and I never played it very well in it, but yeah, I did it all.
So yeah, I was curious. Like, you know, I've walked that little par three course several times, but you know, teeing it up on there, it seems like, you know, obviously Augusta National is what it is, and it's the dream for so many of us. But I think that little par three contest, or the course, I should say, is something that is very underrated and underappreciated for the folks that don't get an opportunity to be out there and check out the par three on Wednesday. Just for a moment, what's it like playing that little course?
Well, it's maintained at par with the rest of the course, or with the big course. I mean, it is just perfect condition. The greens are absolutely perfect. They've got a lot of, you know, water hazards and bunkers, and the galleries are, the galleries on the par three tournament are basically, it's up and close and personal, and, there's a lot more interaction with the guys because they're not stressed out about being playing in the Masters. They're just playing this par three. So everybody's signing autographs and having, joking with the crowds. So as a spectator, it's probably from a fan engagement situation, it's probably better than the real tournament.
And Ted, in the regular tournament, what's it like stepping on the first tee on Thursday, hearing your name called, and then trying to hit that opening tee shot?
So my first year, I was I had the first tee time, and I think they do that to rookies on purpose. But, I've got the 8 o'clock tee time. Well, they open the gates at 8 o'clock. So I'm standing on the tee. I get my name. Well, it's right after the big ceremony that where Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer hit the shot off the tee, and they open the gates at 8 o'clock. Well, they open those gates, and the fans are rushing to find their, because if they set their chairs down for, like, on 18 green, if you set your chair down on 18 green and leave, your chair will be there the rest of the day. Nobody moves it. Nobody touches it. It's your chair. You got there first, and you can go up to the bathroom. Nobody's going to move it. You can go get a cheese sandwich, and your chair is going to be there. So people at the Masters are running full sprint to find their spot on 16 green or 18 green or 13 around the par fives or whatever. So that there's this mad dash for the gallery members to get to their spots. Well, then they say, you know, Ted Purdy, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, play away. And, it's just the greatest, you know, it's one of the greatest moments of any professional life, teeing off on the first tee at Augusta National and the Masters.
Ted, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with the things that you're doing, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Well, I'm at Ted Purdy on Twitter, and that's probably the easiest way. I tweet every once in a while, but not very often. I unfortunately don't have a lot going on, but hopefully we got a lot to tweet about again in the fall.
Well, Ted, I look forward to seeing your name up on leaderboards and following you in the 2019 wraparound season. I can't thank you enough for coming back and being part of the show tonight. I always have so much fun when I get the opportunity to spend some time with you.
Well, thanks for the invite. I appreciate it.
All right, Ted, take care. All the best to you and your family.
Thank you.
That's Ted Purdy, and he spells his last name P-U-R-D-Y, so at Ted Purdy on Twitter, and I highly encourage you, go look him up. Ted had as successful a college career as you're going to find. And again, went up against Tiger Woods head-to-head when Tiger was at Stanford, and won a couple of those events. So Ted had a great career there, obviously a member of the Wildcats Hall of Fame, and we certainly look forward to watching Ted out on tour this coming season and keeping up to date with all the great things he's doing and having him back on the show again real soon. All right, before I get to my next guest, Donnie Hammond, I want to give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors. First, I have to tell you how excited I am about a new weapon I have in my golf bag. For the last several months, I've been playing with a new M4 driver from TaylorMade Golf, and if you haven't tried their new twist face technology, you're missing out. I don't know about you, but I don't hit it in the center of the face every single time. And after studying hundreds of thousands of swings from pros and amateurs like us, TaylorMade designed their new drivers to help protect us from our miss hits and give us straighter distance. So whether your miss is on the low heel or the high toe, Twist Face brings the ball back to center, keeping the distance that we want and finding the fairway more often. I'm hitting more fairways than I ever have, and the new drivers are also the choice of some pretty good golfers you might recognize. Twist Face is played by Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, John Rahm, and Justin Rose, to name just a few, and dominating the top 10 out on tour. So if you haven't tried Twist Face, go hit it and get fit. It's in the new M3 and M4 drivers and only from TaylorMade. I also want to give a shout out to our friends at SuperSpeed Golf. Now used by over half of the tour players around the world, SuperSpeed Golf is the fastest and most effective way to increase your swing speed. 3 8-minute training sessions per week are all you need to see a 5% increase in swing speed. With sets for golfers of all ages and over 1 year of included video instruction, SuperSpeed offers a complete solution to help you start bombing it off the tee. Visit them online at superspeedgolf.com to pick up your set today. And folks, this segment of the show is sponsored by the PGA Tour Superstore.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore. See why golfers everywhere are proud to call PGA Tour Superstore their golf pro shop. Visit them online at PGATourSuperstore.com. Now back to Chris and more of the show.
And now through September 30th, they're having a promotion. $20 off purchases of $100 and $50 off purchases of $250 for online purchases only. Go online to PGATourSuperstore.com and take advantage of this sale today. Again, only lasting through September the 30th. Now back with me and making his seventh appearance with me on the French Lick Resort guest line is Donnie Hammond. Let me remind you about Donnie's background. He was born in Frederick, Maryland, which is in the northern part of Maryland near the Virginia and West Virginia border. Played his college golf at Jacksonville University, where he was a four-year letterman. As a sophomore, he finished seventh in the 1977 Sun Belt Championship, and as a senior, he won it by 6 strokes. He would go on to lead Jacksonville University to 2 Sun Belt Conference Championships. He's a charter member of the Jacksonville University Sports Hall of Fame. Donnie earned his tour card by being a medalist at the 1982 PGA Tour qualifying tournament at TPC Sawgrass, winning by a record 14 strokes. He played on the PGA Tour from 1983 to 1998, won twice on the regular tour at the 1986 Bob Hope Chrysler Classic and the 1989 Texas Open, where he came within 1 stroke of the all-time scoring record, having shot rounds of 65, 64, 65, 64 at Oak Hill. He won once on what was then the Buy.com Tour, now the Web.com Tour, at the 2000 Lakeland Classic. Donnie also won the 1982 Florida Open. Over the course of his career, he had 46 top 10 finishes, and he made the cut a whopping 70% of the time that he teed it up. And I'm honored he is back with me again tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Donnie, how are you, my friend?
Chris, doing well. Doing well. You're sounding good this evening.
I appreciate you.
Well, Donnie, I've seen you teeing it up a little lately out on the Champions Tour. Are we going to get to see you out there a little bit more during the 2019 season?
Yeah, actually, I'm coming up to Raleigh here in a couple weeks, getting my game ready for that. The qualifier there, the SAS tournament. Love that area. It's a great tournament. Great food there, too. That's got to be the best lunch on the Champions Tour. So I'm really going to try hard to make that one. And then going to give the tour school a try this year, the senior tour school. Both stages are in Florida, so I can play, you know, the first one's in Lakeland. And then get through that, and I'll be able to play the TPC Tampa for the finals. So, yeah, it's a tough one. They only give away 5 cards, but, you know, you get the putter hot. Never know.
Yeah, pulling hard for you. Hopefully we get the opportunity to follow those tournaments online. So good luck. I'm pulling hard. I hope things work out. Looking forward to having you back out on the Champions Tour next season, Donnie.
Thank you.
Donnie, I was talking with Ted Purdy about this earlier, and I want to get your reaction to today's announcement regarding the changes to the FedEx Cup for next season. The FedEx Cup leader is going to come into the Tour Championship at East Lake. You know, they're going to start, it's going to be, I guess, like a stroke play sort of thing, right? The event leader is going to start out at 10 under par. The person in second place is going to be 8 under par, third place at 7 under par, and on down the line. What are your thoughts about the Tour Championship starting with a leaderboard setup like that?
Well, it kind of fits in with sports a little bit in general, but, you know, to start the guy out in the lead, I don't know. You know, they've been tweaking these finals and the format now for 10 years or so. I don't guess they seem to have gotten it where they want it, but I don't know. It'll bring some interest into the tournament. And, you know, kind of like that race where you do with the kids, you know, swimming race, you start the little one out ahead, you know, give him like 8 yards, and then you let the older one go. And then by the time they make the run, they get back. So I guess that's the theory, you know, with the lead. And it'll be interesting to see how it works out next year. But I think it will be interesting. That's for sure.
Donnie, where I struggle with it seems a bit contrived to set it up that way. And I was talking about this with Ted Purdy earlier as well. And I guess what I would be concerned with, if I'm Bryson DeChambeau and I'm coming in with a large points lead, to think that that is now just a two-stroke lead, it seems like, you know, for all the work that I did winning two tournaments and getting, you know, a several thousand point lead, that's only now two strokes that could be gone in two holes. I don't know. I'm struggling with that. Do you really think this could work?
I don't think it's going to be improvement on the way they have right now, because, you know, when you come into the finals and there's five guys that could win, if the guy that's fourth or fifth wins the tournament, then he can win the FedEx Cup, basically. You know, that cuts it down pretty good. That makes it kind of an elimination where, you know, say Tiger wins, you know, he needs help from those first five guys. They have to finish, you know, 6th, 8th, 12th or whatever, you know, for Tiger to be able to slide in. So, you know, if I had to vote between the two, I'd leave it like it is right now. I think they have it pretty fine-tuned now. But, you know, they can always try it for a year, I guess.
Donnie, they've also added a $10 million bonus for the guys who finish ranked in the top 10 during the regular season, sort of a regular season champion, if you will. The guy ranked number one is going to get a $2 million bonus, and then all the way down to number 10, who's going to get $500,000. Will that get guys to play in more events next season, or are there demands on the time of you guys out on tour? Is it too much to be able to figure out how to get in one or two more events, even with something like this bonus put in place?
No, I think you could adjust the schedule a little bit toward the end of the year. You're probably not thinking about adding tournaments in the middle of the year or the beginning of the year, because, you know, they just fit together for you. You know, you see two or three events that you like, and then you see a week that you're not crazy about. That's the week you're taking off. And then there's two more, maybe take a week off, and then a stretch, maybe a four in a row that you definitely want to play. So there's not a lot of time to really add tournaments during the year. As you get toward maybe three quarters of the way done, that's when you could maybe add a tournament if you're, you know, looking to maybe stay in the top 10 on that ranking. But the guys are making, you know, a lot of money to be able to add, you know, a little bit, $100,000 here or there at the end of the year to change your schedule that much. I don't think it'll help a whole lot.
Donnie, we also have a lot of rules changes set to come into play in January. Any of them stick out to you that you thought to yourself, boy, this one was long overdue?
Well, I like being able to tap down certain spike marks, but I hopefully it doesn't slow the game down, because you could get some really big spike marks, you know, on a four-footer that you would just, you know, you're looking at it close. It's not a ball mark. You know it's a spike mark. And if you roll it over that, you know, there's a good chance you're not going to make that putt, you know, from 4 feet maybe. So I like that. But hopefully it's not where guys are walking 30 feet to the hole, tapping things down as they go. And then, you know, for TV, I don't think that would work out that well, you know, lengthening the game another 5 minutes or so on TV. Kind of interesting, though, some of the changes, being able to leave the pin in, different drops. I guess certain of the changes will help speed up the game a little bit. I think they reduce the time you can look for a ball, isn't it, to 3 minutes? Yeah, that's probably good. If you can't find it in 3 minutes, it's probably gone. So, a friend of mine hit a tee shot, Chris, and he hit it off the tee, didn't have great eyesight, and he hits it out there, and he looks at the caddy, and he says, "Where is it?" Caddy pulls the ball out of his pocket and says, "It's right here, Larry." Gives it to him. He didn't need the 3 minutes. It's gone.
That's great.
And Donnie, did you ever have a crazy rule like the wind moving your ball on the green or being unable to fix a spike mark or anything like that that negatively impacted you?
Well, funny you should mention that. The first year on tour, I was playing Bay Hill, and I'm playing with the great Jack Nicklaus and David Graham. And we get off the ninth green, and we're all in pretty good shape. Maybe 10th place, 15th place. We're all kind of right up there and pretty good. And I think Jack went into the clubhouse to grab a little something. We're standing on the 10th tee, and David said, "Donnie, let's just hit." I said, "Yeah, let's hit. I'm ready." So I hit. David Graham hit down the fairway. Jack comes out. He looks around, and David says, "Yes, Jack, we've hit." And Jack says, "Okay," and he hits down the middle. And we're walking down the fairway, and all of a sudden I feel this hand on my shoulder, and he said, and it's Jack. He said, "Donnie, I know you guys were hitting to speed up play, but penalty if you hit out of turn." And I said, "You're kidding." He said, "Yeah, we better check on that." Well, we ended up checking on it, and we found out that it is actually a two-stroke penalty if you do it knowingly. If we would have done it by accident, it, to my understanding, it wouldn't have been a penalty. But now, all of a sudden, the first guy that hits gets penalized two strokes. David didn't get penalized, just the first guy. So it was kind of a thing on TV. I think Lee Trevino was saying, "How do they let this happen to this young rookie?" And here I am playing with Jack Nicklaus. So it was, you know, it's not Jack's fault. Nobody's fault. I certainly didn't know that rule being a rookie on tour, but it was two strokes and then, you know, kind of fell apart the last couple holes and it was, kind of a bad finish. So that was kind of one of the craziest things with rules, I think, that happened to me. And that was my first year.
So why was it a two stroke penalty on you, but not on David Graham?
That's what I was wondering. I don't know. It's like the first guy that hits, it's a penalty. The second guy doesn't get penalized. I think they may have showed it to me in the rule book, but I was half in shock after everything, so I didn't need to look at the rule book.
Donnie, another change going into effect next season is the schedule, including the Players' Championship moving to March, the PGA Championship moves to May, and the Tour Championship is going to happen in mid-August. What are your thoughts on those tournaments being moved around?
Well, the PGA is going to be, you know, that's going to be a big move going from the summer to earlier, and then also TPC coming in March because, you know, Florida, you're going to get some temperamental weather there in March. The winds are going to be blowing. You're going to catch some cold weather in the morning. So that's going to toughen up that golf course there in March. You know, and instead of being in May. So that's going to be interesting to see how TPC plays. It'll probably be firmer, too, a little drier that time of year. I think it'll be good to have the majors kind of grouped a little closer together, though, instead of kind of waiting to the end of the year for the PGA. So guys will be able to stay on their game and maybe be able to get a little more momentum, you know, going into all the big tournaments at the same time.
And Donnie, looking ahead to next week's Ryder Cup matches, what do you expect to see from the matches over in France?
I said, well, I've seen some of the big bleachers that they have there, the structures that are built, especially the one on the first tee, and there's going to be some massive crowds out there, and, you know, 80% of it's going to be European, so maybe 85%. So there's going to be a lot of noise out there. Luckily, I would say the U.S. has assembled probably the strongest team I've ever seen for a Ryder Cup. These guys that are, you know, playing now so strong, can overpower golf courses and, you know, strongest team ever. But also the Europeans, you know, they have some hot players, Tommy Fleetwood. The guys are going to be on their home turf over there. They're going to have already adjusted to the time change of being over there for 2 weeks versus our guys coming over, you know, and only having maybe 4 or 5 days to adjust. So between the home field advantage, the time change advantage, you know, I think it's probably going to be a pretty close match. But I think the U.S. will edge them out this year.
Donnie, Jim Furyk was certainly right in picking Tiger. It was the right move for him to do it. He's playing so well right now. But Tiger is 13-14-2 all-time in Ryder Cup matches. Now, very good in singles, 4-1-1, but in foursomes and four ball, 9-13-1. Is that a result of Tiger never being a good driver of the golf ball? I mean, other guys aren't as good as recovery shots as he is. So, you know, if he's driving the ball and putting people in harder positions, they aren't as good as he is as, you know, recovering and getting back up and down and that sort of thing as Tiger is. Or is it the pressure of being, you know, paired alongside of Tiger? What do you think it is? Why do guys struggle when they're paired with him?
Yeah, I think it is a little bit the pressure. It was always a little different playing with Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. So all of a sudden, even though he's your partner, you know, it may be a little more difficult to play your own game because, you know, you're going to be in the marquee grouping. You're going to be playing against the best players on the other side, probably. And there is extra pressure with that. Plus, you know, you maybe didn't get a chance to play with Tiger a lot during the year, too. He's always in the, you know, last couple groups or so. But I think a lot of it is the pressure, a little bit circumstance. But I always thought that, you know, you give Tiger 10 Ryder Cups or 12 Ryder Cups, he's going to come out with a pretty good winning record by the end. So we'll see if he kind of gets on the good side of it after this year's match.
Donnie, beyond golf, one of the things we have in common is our affection for NASA and space exploration. I saw you retweeted today the tweet from SpaceX about their reusable rockets and their spacecraft, and Elon Musk announcing their first civilian trip to the moon coming in around 2023. So are you excited? Are you looking forward to the idea that people will be able to travel to and from the moon before too long?
I think that's going to be absolutely amazing because Elon's going to have high definition cameras on there too. So you'll be able to sit on your big screen and kind of watch the adventure that the Japanese billionaire is going to be able to experience along with his, I think he's taking 8 painters with him to be able to paint, you know, illustrations. Just think how much those are going to be worth. That's going to be so cool to have original art from a trip where you're flying the BFR around the moon. You know, being able to do these kind of paintings and be able to see it on high definition. So I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it myself.
I'll save you a ticket for the liftoff. We should watch the launch whenever it is.
Yeah.
Come down to Florida.
I will absolutely do that. Please. I look forward to that.
Okay.
Donnie, before I let you go, remind our listeners how they can follow you online and over social media as well.
Just go to Twitter, probably, at Donnie Hammond, with IE on the Donnie. So I like to have some fun on Twitter and keep up, and that's probably the best thing. If I happen to have a good tournament, I'll put it up there. So I'll keep you guys up to date with the tour school and some things here toward the end of the year. But still loving golf, still at it, and hopefully shoot some good scores here in the next month or so.
Well, we're certainly sending good karma your way, Donnie. I hope you play well. I hope you get back out on the Champions Tour next season. Really looking forward to following you and watching you continue your success out on the Champions Tour.
Well, thanks, Chris.
Donnie, take care. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to having you back on the show again real soon. It's always a great time when you're a part of a segment here on Next on the Tee. Best of luck. Look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, Donnie.
Thanks.
That is Donnie Hammond. And folks, send good karma his way. We're looking forward to following Donnie and seeing him back out on the Champions Tour. He's one of the great people you get to meet in this life. So send him all the good karma that you can. And we look forward to having Donnie back on the show again real soon. All right. Before I get to my next guest, Dave Windsor, I want to remind you about a couple of our sponsors. First, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Par Bar. Par Bar Golf is focused on better nutrition for better golf. Par Bar is a first-of-its-kind energy bar developed specifically for golf based on nutritional science that provides the sustained, even energy that golfers need. Now the company has introduced a unique hydration product, Par Water, that instantly converts water into an electrolyte drink. It only has 1 gram of sugar. It's all natural. Par Water is a cap that fits on most water bottles. Within the cap is an electrolyte powder. It is simple to use with no mess. Snap it on the mouth of the bottle, press the top of the cap, and shake. The powder instantly dissolves in the water and is now converted into an electrolyte drink that replaces the salt lost when you sweat. Studies by the American Institute of Biotechnology have shown up to a 12% loss in distance and a 90% loss in accuracy with golfers that are even mildly dehydrated. Drink par water before, during, and after your round. It's all natural, tastes great, comes in lemon and mango flavors. You can buy par bars and par water online at parbargolf.com and at many pro shops around the country. Please also check out our friends at the Bobby Jones Apparel Company by going online to bobbyjones.com. Their fall collection has arrived. Now is the perfect opportunity to change things up layer upon layer. They make style easy. Find carefully coordinated outfits in a variety of colors and options. The Bobby Jones brand delivers excellence as genuine as the legend himself with their collection of golf performance and lifestyle apparel for both men and women. See it online by going to bobbyjones.com. All right, now joining me on the French Lick Resort guest line is Dave Windsor. Dave is a Class A PGA professional and the director of adaptive golf for the Georgia State Golf Association. He's considered one of the country's foremost experts in teaching adaptive golf, assisting those with physical, cognitive, and or sensory impairments to learn to play golf while enhancing the quality of their lives. Dave has been coaching and coordinating multiple adaptive golf clinics on a weekly basis since 2000, introducing or reintroducing the game as a means of therapy and accelerating recovery. Dave founded the Adaptive Golf Academy in 2006, training fellow PGA and LPGA professionals, therapists, and other coaches across the country to become adaptive golf coaches to help make an impact on others in their communities. He is a seven-time PGA Section Award recipient across both North Florida and Georgia PGA sections, including Teacher of the Year and a PGA Patriot Award winner. Dave became the National PGA of America Patriot Award recipient in 2015 for his dedication and personification of patriotism through the game. And I'm very honored he is with me tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Dave, thanks for coming on the show.
Chris, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Dave, as you know, our show goes out over the Armed Forces Radio Network, and you're doing such great work helping our veterans and wounded service members, either getting them into golf for the first time or relearning the game of golf. What made you want to get involved in adaptive golf?
Well, it sure didn't take very long. I was just living the dream, first year as a PGA member, as a club professional down in Sarasota, Florida, just an hour south of the well-known MacDill Air Force Base. Just had a physical therapist come into the golf shop one day and introduce a program that he had established in Florida, and that's just bringing out folks from different walks of life. Either they were in an accident where they maybe had a spine injury, loss of limb, brain injury, what we refer to as a TBI. A lot of stroke survivors were coming through the rehabilitation, and he was applying the game of golf and all the different skill sets that it brings to light for these folks to get back into the fabric of society.
Dave, expand upon that a little bit. Talk about some of the injuries that your students have been able to overcome to either learn or relearn the game of golf.
There's such a wide spectrum. It's so vast. So, to give you an example of first and foremost, if you get, and all of us know someone that, has maybe had a circumstance take place. But just one interesting fact is, every 40 seconds in the United States, someone suffers a stroke. And a lot of stroke survivors are a big part of our program. And then they're sort of through all these different rehabilitation centers. And really there's, it's such a pleasure and it's such a breath of fresh air for the therapist to see that they have a program that they can refer their recovering patients to. That's one. And the progress from someone that maybe with, if we can, get a chance to meet them in their early intervention. And if I bring, just as an example, the well-known Shepherd Center in Atlanta, it is really maybe a week after a catastrophic injury. They want them up and moving and working on their balance and going through range of motion as quickly as possible. And to see someone at that early stage and then be able to have them participate, whether it be weekly, monthly, over the course of months or a couple years, they are up out of their wheelchairs, with initial diagnosis of, hey, you may or may not ever walk again. And to have them out there walking nine holes, playing next to you and just to see them light up,
That is the story to be told, and that could be happening more and more across the nation.
And Dave, let's expand upon that, because you've been involved with the Shepherd Center Clinic here in town. You've hosted some of the patients at the Charlie Yates Golf Club. Talk about some of the events that you've been involved with in conjunction with the Shepherd Center.
Yes, just as recent of today, down at the Charlie Yates Golf Course, really close to East Lake, where all the activity is happening this week. What we partner with the Shepherd Center with is for their health and wellness clinics. And so what we do is we provide some trained coaches, which I'd like to talk to you about, opportunity for folks to learn more and become trained volunteers with us. But we bring resources such as trained volunteers that really give a good understanding of helping someone, whether they're in a seated position, a wheelchair, a power chair, maybe they're just starting to get into an upright position at that time. And then we have some unique equipment to help some folks. So whether it be the right kind of gloves, the right kind of clubs, Paragolf or golf cart, which is a unit that can stand someone upright. We have the Solar Rider golf car. And so just depends on that person's impairment. We were going to match them up with the right equipment, and get them the resources to play. So that is one way that we're able to help and partner with Shepherd Center therapists and enhance the skills and really give the resources to community life again after they leave the four walls of the hospital. And that's, you know, that's just been one of the most exciting things, to partner with groups like that, to partner with, say, the veteran clinics, to partner with Blaze Sports, to partner with the Center for Visually Impaired. So throughout the year, we'll do some things with Shepherd. And during inclement weather season, we're inside their gymnasium, where we transform half of their gymnasium into a makeshift golf center, from putting, chipping to full swing, just trying to encourage and inspire those that there is life beyond those four walls.
And Dave, one of the great things is the level of enthusiasm that I hear in your voice. It's got to fill you with a lot of satisfaction seeing the impact that your program is having. What are some of the, you know, special moments that have really warmed your heart?
Well, we definitely have to have you out. You have to really see this. And, you know, it's just downright contagious. And it, even between the participants, we may have, say, half a dozen wheelchair golfers coming out to our clinic, and we might have just a couple of our single rider carts available. And, you know, one of our volunteers might ask, all right, who's next? And they're all going to point to the person next to them. Hey, you know, Joe needs to go. Oh, it's Marcus's turn. And so they're always encouraging each other. They always want to see the next person really succeed. And, you know, just one of the moments, you know, out of all that is to shake hands with a blind golfer, whether it be a junior or an adult, who may or may not have ever played golf before, you know, before their an injury, and just to walk them through the steps and allow them to feel the golf club, the sensory of the grip, the weight of the club head, understanding, you know, the squareness, or getting that club face to be square, and to be on the right track and help guide that person through, and giving them step by step, and then to get the ball right where that swing is consistently going through, and you know, just to watch them, and you can hear it. You know, those of us that play, you know, you can hear that they peered it, they get the feel of it too, and to watch it go, and to be their eyes, to watch them perform. That is extremely gratifying. I don't know how much you're aware of, the listeners, but blind golf has been in existence for over 75 years, and they just celebrated the 73rd United States Blind Golf Championship outside of Nashville last month.
Wow, that's awesome. And Dave, to take that one step further, what about stories you've heard from participants or their families regarding the impact your program is having on their quality of life? Because beyond the golf course, I got to imagine that this is instilling a level of confidence in them, even when they're not playing golf.
Absolutely. You know, the biggest thing is a change in mindset and the outlook. And, you know, there really isn't anything stronger than the sense of hope and to provide someone that again, whether it be through self-performance, you know, for proving it to themselves, being around a new that social environment again. But if, you know, if any of us have had and known someone that has, you know, maybe gone through a little change of identity, more or less, you know, physically, you know, mentally, you know, sensory impairments, you know, that can really, you know, put that person, your family member, into a pretty dark place of depression, that anxiety sets in. And, you know, a lot of times they will retract and they'll just, you know, try to avoid society. And to be able to break them out of their shell in order to get them around an environment like we feel like we create, the testimonials from spouses, from their kin, you know, it can, you just don't know how much, you know, this activity of being around the game of golf can really impact someone's life. And it, you know, it could just be a simple outing, to get them out. And it's just, it just breaks them out of there. It's just a full embodiment of mental toughness, and it just helps the, you know, those blocks for that individual.
Dave, how many rehab facilities are there around the state of Georgia and really across the country that have programs like the one you've put together?
Hey, thanks for asking that question. With, you know, being the currently the only state golf association that has encompassed an adaptive golf program, here we are in the great state of Georgia. It's the Georgia State Golf Association that 3 years ago had, you know, vowed to create the model here in Georgia through all of its cities and partnering with those rehabs. So here in Atlanta, you know, everyone from, say, the Shepherd Center, the VA, from, say, Northside Hospital, the groups from Emory, you know, I'm probably missing a few here and there. Could be the chiropractic clinics. You know, any of those, there isn't anyone that that really wouldn't align with. Down in Augusta, we have a program up bi-monthly as well, every first and third Wednesday. And of course, they have two VAs down there, and it's the whole, say, regional spinal cord treatment facility down there, as well as Doctors Hospital, again, for civilians. So a lot of stroke survivors are there, all the way down to Savannah, where we're at every first Saturday of the month. For those on the military network, that's at the Hunter Army Golf Course every first Saturday. And then recently we launched Valdosta in conjunction with some of our ties with Moody Air Force Base. And right there you have the South Georgia Medical Center. So it really goes on wherever these locations, and we definitely want to partner with those. So if there's anyone linked in with physical therapists, occupational therapists, definitely. You know, they could help be, you know, the fire starter for a new program in their community.
To that end, Dave, are there other facilities reaching out to you to try to start something similar in their areas?
Absolutely. Although, you know, we're the most unique because we're, you know, we're powered by a state golf association. There are others, across, I mean, almost every state is going to have some linkage of adaptive golf. Referring just to the south of us in Florida, the program that I was involved with, that has sustained a weekly program down in Sarasota, Florida. Then up the road in Tampa, they're celebrating 11 years in conjunction with the Tampa Veterans Hospital. And that's been a weekly program falling on the 11th year and two Fridays. There's been some, you know, extensions to that with, you know, say Tarpon Springs and around the Tampa area. You know, Orlando has a group. There's one resource where you can find many of these in one place, and that is our United States Adaptive Golf Alliance. And that is the USAGA.org. And that lists over 30 organizations under this umbrella that we're all working together as one voice. We all have a common theme of enhancing lives through the game of golf. Some focus on military, like our my friend Steve Greiner up in the D.C. area, former golf professional at Fort Belvoir, and he has links to Freedom, so he's very active all around the D.C. area, all the way up here to New England. You know, Bob Beach, another, and both of these guys are fellow PGA professionals and National Patriot Award recipients, and, you know, they're doing their thing in their community, and the list could go on.
So, Dave, for our listeners who need help, or there's a family member who knows somebody who needs help or has a friend who needs help, how can they get in touch with you and follow you either online or over social media?
You know, we're very fortunate to have a gentleman with us. And, you know, he contacted me the week that I moved to Georgia in 2015. And he not only here is a Georgia resident who is, you know, hands-on with our volunteer base and, you know, a big part of our recruitment, but is probably the most well-versed and in tune with where there's a program and where we can get people linked in, whether it be military base, whether it be civilian, junior to adult. And he is our outreach leader for both the Georgia State Golf Association as well as United States Adaptive Golf Alliance. And so if you, the best way is to just to seek our GSGA website. And that's right here, our home at Georgia State Golf Association. And we're really trying to be the rock, the foundation for others to begin. And on that homepage of GSGA.org, just simply scroll down to the bottom. You'll see the Adaptive Golf Program. There's a short video to give a little overview and lead you to the page where you can find Mr. Bob Thibodeau and myself, David Windsor. Emails are there, phone numbers, and we'd be more than happy to help someone find a location.
And Dave, for the folks that want to get involved and want to volunteer, how can they get in touch with you so that they can find out more information and do get involved?
Yeah, they can definitely get in touch with us the same way. Our next coach training program is a workshop, and it's a 7-hour program. It takes part indoors, do a lot of PowerPoint, a lot of video, a lot of thinking outside the box. And then we do some self-adaptation. So a coach, a volunteer, you know, we may have them experiment hitting some balls from a seated position, one-handed. We have a prosthetic leg prop, and where, you know, they get a little self-adaptation. They get a little feel for, you know, some of those some swing skills and balance, test of balance. And it really just gives them more confidence, a comfort level. So when they do meet someone, you know, they're going to just be more comfortable and getting on the same page with them and help them enhance their lives. So they can also reach and ask that inquiry through our website.
Well, Dave, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come and be a part of the show and share all of this information with us. I hope you'll come back and join me again sometime because this work is absolutely outstanding. Please come back, update us, and let us know how things are going. Really enjoyed having you as part of the show tonight.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I really, really appreciate that opportunity to put that word out there. Being involved in the adaptive golf arena for 20 years now, you know, you just happen to meet, you know, the greatest people. You see their comeback stories, and we're always just encouraging others to pick up a golf club and start writing their next chapter in recovery. So, really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Dave. Thank you again for your time tonight. I hope you'll come back and join us again soon. In between now and then, all the best to you and your family.
Thank you so much.
That is David Windsor. And again, check out all the great things that they're doing online at usaga.org and gsga.org. All right, folks, it is time for me to put a bow on this episode of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks again go out to Ted Purdy, Donnie Hammond, and David Windsor for joining me tonight. Please give me your thoughts. Check out our page on Facebook, Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, and share your feedback there. Give us a like. That's very important to us, too. Plus, if you've got a question for one of our future guests, let me know. I'll be glad to get it on the show for you. Check out our site, nextonthetee.net. There you're going to see some of our future guests, our guest schedule right there. Please also check out our sister show on the football side, Thursday Night Tailgate, with me and my co-host Bob Lazzari. That show airs live every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And that show, like this one, also available as a free podcast over on Podbean and on iHeartRadio. On Thursday Night Tailgate, we're joined every week by five NFL legends sharing their stories from their playing days, plus insights into what's going on around the league today. We also highlight two players doing great things in their communities in our Spotlight on the Positive segment. You can find that show online at ThursdayNightTailgate.com, like this one, and this one is on NextOnTheTee.net. From there, we link back to our page over on Podbean so you can stream or download any of our archive episodes for free by going to Podbean.com or by downloading the Podbean app. That way you can take us with you everywhere you go. Folks, thank you again for choosing to listen to this show tonight. We really appreciate it. Until next week, hit 'em straight, my friends.
You've been listening to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where PGA and LPGA pros and top instructors and media members go to tell their stories. Join us the same time every Tuesday to hear more stories about the game we love from people who love sharing those stories with you. It's all about the great game of golf. It's all about the great game of golf.